Today our scriptures in the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter, 1 through 7. This is in the New International Version. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
Amen. Isn't it amazing how uncomfortable 1 minute can be? Just sitting in silence? You know, sometimes a minute can pass by really fast when we're doing something we love. Time is important to us. We wear watches. We have clocks everywhere. We have them on our cell phones. We have them in our cars. We have them on our stoves and our microwaves. We measure lots of things by time. How old are you is really a question of, well, how long, how much time have you been here? That's really what that question is. We say that time stands still, and yet time flies. 1 minute can last an eternity, while an hour flashes by. In our happiness, time seems short, yet in our trials, time seems endless. Did you know that if we include today, there are exactly 30 days till Christmas? Ooh. That means there's approximately 720 hours till we celebrate the birth of Christ. That's approximately 43,200 minutes to get everything done that you need to before Christmas. And you just wasted 1 minute of it sitting here in uncomfortable silence. But see, time dictates the pattern of our lives. Time tells us when we work. Time tells us when we eat, when we choose to celebrate, when we go to bed. It dictates everything. It's essential to our lives. But there's a strategic nature to time, and that's what we call timing. If you live in a northern state, in our country, you know that you don't plant a vegetable garden in November. You don't go swimming in Lake Michigan in January. You probably won't choose to start eating healthy in this next couple of weeks. Why? Because the timing isn't right. Timing's important in sports. In football, if the timing is off, the receiver can't catch the ball that the quarterback has thrown. In baseball, if the timing's not right, the hitter's going to get a strike. Even in our daily lives, if our timing is off, we may end up late somewhere. We may miss a flight. In some cases, we might even get in a car accident. But timing brings good things too. Timing may keep you from a car accident. It may bring you to that moment that you met the love of your life. You see, timing can bring us to find miracles in our moments. We heard some of that earlier today. This morning is the first Sunday of Advent, when we anticipate the celebration of the birth of Jesus. It really kind of lines us up a little bit with all the people of years before waiting for the Messiah. It kind of draws us together with them in that moment as we anticipate that celebration of the birth of our Savior. And, you know, we're anticipating his second coming as well, because he told us he would be back. And even in this Advent, we need to remember that as well. In our text this morning, notice what Paul said about the birth of Jesus. When the right time came, God sent his son. The reality is that most people miss the miracle in that moment. Most people didn't recognize the significance of Christ's birth at the time. People were too busy to pay attention to a young girl giving birth to her first child out in a stable in Bethlehem. And yet, at the perfect time in history, Jesus was born. His birth was not a matter of chance. It was not a matter of coincidence. His coming was all a part of God's divine plan that was set before the foundation of the world. You see, for God, Christmas was not a last-minute emergency band-aid for something that caught him off guard. You know, for something that we celebrate just once a year, it's hard for us to understand the idea that this was the overarching plan of God from the very beginning. We need to understand that God planned out all of time from beginning to end. He knows the end from the beginning, and everything he has ever done is in complete harmony with that. See, sin is a hostage of time. It creates this infectious virus through all of humanity. But from the foundation of the world, God has been working and he has been planning, never getting off track. Nothing has distracted God from his plan. And when the right time came, he sent his son. Historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation. They were waiting for a deliverer. Old religions were dying. Old philosophies were empty and powerless to change people's lives. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of his son. From a historical perspective, the Roman Empire had helped prepare the world for the birth of Jesus. They had constructed roads that connected cities. They made travel easier, and all roads ultimately led to Rome. The world was at peace under Roman rule. The languages Latin and Greek were known across the empire, making communication easier. And when the right time came, God sent his son. See, God's timing is always perfect. He's never a moment early, nor ever late. The right time came, and that moment in history, when every word of prophecy that should have been given had been given. Not a word more, not a syllable less. Every ear that should have heard, all the receptive minds of faithful servants, the fearful hearts in need of encouragement, the wavering doubters, even the stubborn fools and the hardened rebels who railed against the rule of God. Every person destined to hear in preparation for that moment had heard. Beginning with those who had first heard the prophets speak, down to the ones who had listened to the scriptures being read the very night before our Savior was born. When the right moment came, The perfect tyrant was on the throne in Jerusalem. The perfectly ruthless emperor was reigning in Rome. The correct carpenter was laboring in Nazareth. The exact bands of shepherds were dozing on the hillside in Bethlehem. The designated governor was calling for a census. The ordained stargazers in their Persian observatory were gathering the very gold, incense, and myrrh that were reserved from before time for this moment. And at just the right time, every sparrow and every insect was in place. Every star and planet and each grain of sand, every ripple of every stream, every atom in the universe was in its perfect location. And the chosen young woman in Galilee heard and obeyed at just the right time. At just the right time. You see, in the birth of Jesus, we see God's perfect timing. And we see the miracle of the moment in all of history, in all of time. But what about other moments in our lives? What about those moments where we miss the miracle of God's timing? Because in order to experience the fullness and the miracles of the moments in our lives, we need to understand how God views time. You see, God created time. God rules over it. The psalmist told us, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world from beginning to end, You are God. He created time. He's outside of it. He created it. Sometimes God chooses to work gradually over time. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that for everything, there's a season and a time for every activity under the sun. But yet, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, we can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Only He can. You see, there's no panic in heaven. We forget that. Because when those moments pop up for us, we panic. Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, what are you going to do? He said, I knew it. I knew it was coming. He doesn't panic. You see, sometimes it pleases God to unfold His plan over time. He took 6 days to create heaven and earth. He could have spoken it in a moment. He took 6 days. And even though He promised a Redeemer when Adam and Eve sinned, it would be thousands of years before that Redeemer actually came. We can rest knowing that what God is doing now is part of His plan. We need to know that God isn't bound by deadlines. He's never late. When we have a need, He is there to provide. And we like that. But the corollary of Him never being late is that sometimes He's never early. We don't like that. We set up deadlines, but He isn't bound by them. We want God to work on our timetable, not the other way around. There's a story that Henry Blackaby shares in his book, Experiencing God, about the timing of God. Just right in His timing, never late, never early. Since Henry Blackaby tells of when his small Saskatchewan congregation, with $749 in their building fund, had decided to build a new building. The estimate on the new building was about $220,000. God showed them his faithfulness all along the way. But toward the end, when they counted up the remaining pledges, including one from a foundation in Texas, they were still going to be about $60,000 short. So they were waiting on this money from Texas. It was supposed to be wired any day. We know that. Any day now. Yeah, check is in the mail. And so 1 week went by, and then 2 weeks went by. Still no money. After weeks of waiting, finally a call from the bank reported that the funds had been wired. And Henry Blackaby was shocked to hear that the amount was $60,000 more than he was expecting. What was the explanation? The banker told him that on that particular day, for a two-hour window, right when this exchange took place and the money was wired, the exchange rate for the Canadian dollar hit its lowest point in history before going back up out of that two-hour window. And so because that exchange rate dropped so low in that two-hour window that this transfer of money took place, they got the extra $60,000 that they needed. God's timing is impeccable. And it's never on our timetable. It's on his. We just have to trust that he knows best. And sometimes we want it our way. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah tells us, "Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." Have you ever started reading a book and you're so into it, but you really wanted to know the ending? It was just eating away at you because I need to know the ending. I need to know the ending before I get there. Because if it's a bad ending, I don't want to keep reading, of course, right? None of you, just me? Okay, that's okay. But sometimes we can't stand the suspense. We want to know what's going to happen. And God says, "I know, you don't need to know. Trust me with your future." See, God knows the ending of every moment of our lives. When we find ourselves in the in-between, we can trust God with the ending. God doesn't just know now what will happen. He's known it from the beginning of the foundation of time. There's no panic in heaven. We need to remember that time is not our enemy. Since God created time, time is good. God uses time for his purposes. And he specifically determined the time that each of us would be born, as well as how many days we would have. The psalmist says this in 139, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Think about that. Your life, God had planned before you were even a thought in your parents' mind. God knew. God knew. He knows your moments. But because God rules over time, there's always enough of it. There's enough time in this day, in this year, in this life, to complete and fulfill the will of God for your life. See, when we feel rushed and pressed, time is still not our enemy. We may have taken on things that weren't meant for us to do. Or maybe, this is a hard one, maybe we wasted the time we were given. But God has provided every one of us the perfect amount of time for each of us to do his work. and fulfill His will and purpose for our lives. One thing that we tend to do is we think we're missing out on something. We look on Facebook, we look on social media, and we see other people living wonderful life. They're doing wonderful things. Why am I am missing out on some good stuff out there. I guess I'm the only one that does that too. But you know, sometimes at some point, we feel that life is passing us by. We feel like we're missing out on something. Maybe we think our hopes and our dreams are fleeting. But you know, do you think Abraham and Sarah felt the same way? Do you think that the idea of having a child, do you think that they felt that had passed them by? No, God had a plan. And in the time that it took for Him to reveal it, He was revealing Himself. It was in His timing. And they learned in the waiting. As Jacob's son Joseph sat in prison, do you think maybe he felt that life had passed him by? All the visions that he had, and now he's sitting in prison? But God was really just waiting for that perfect moment to bring him to prominence and influence. Or how about Paul? Paul just wanted to share the gospel, but instead he was sitting in prison in chains. Philippians 1:12, we hear Paul say, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. But he was still thinking small. He was still just talking about the guards that were around him. But God saw it bigger. Every letter that he wrote to all those churches while he was in prison, they've advanced the gospel far beyond what he could have ever imagined. Wow! That's the miracle in the moments that we just let go by. We don't recognize them. We need to remember that God works everything for his good purpose. Romans 8:28, we all know it. We've all been told it. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. But one of the things we tend to add at the end of that verse, in our lifetime. We want to see the good purpose, and sometimes we don't. We try to limit God's timing. Sometimes we don't see the fruit of our labor. But we need to remember that his work is eternal. And his work will continue long after our lives are over. The writer of Hebrews says this about the people that are listed in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance, and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. You see, they trusted God's perfect timing in all things. They found the miracles in the moments of life. That's what faith does. Faith opens our eyes to the miracles in our moments, even when those moments really stink. Church, I want you to hear this message. You know, I will be honest with you. I've had a rough week. I've had a really, really rough week. And this message, when I was typing it up, it hit me between the eyes. And God said, don't you trust me? Don't you know that I'm in this? I am in the timing of this. As I had one fire that was lit, and then another one came at me, and another one, and another one, and it was an onslaught of stuff that was being thrown at me. And I'm typing this up, And I'm hearing God say, don't you see me in the timing? Don't you see me in the miracle of the moment? I said, you know what, Lord? I didn't, but I do now. I get it. I get it. Don't miss his miracles in those moments of your life, because he's there. Because when the right time came, God sent his son. You see, God was in harmony with his character. He was immune to the manipulation of the world, and he was still moved by grace. He was informed by his perfect wisdom, and God sent his son. Eternal, majestic, sovereign, and sinless to our world. The Lord of glory stepped down from above at just the right time. Because that's what he does. He's God. He comes at just the right time for just what we need in the moment. Psalm 145 says, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. What are you hungry for? What do you hunger for this morning? God's timing is perfect. Psalm 104 says, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. Deuteronomy 11:14. Then he will send the rains at their proper seasons, the early and the late rains, so you can bring in your harvests. God knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. And at just the right time, he's going to come to you, and he will provide what you need for the moment, because his timing is always perfect. Romans 5:6 reminds us that when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us while we were sinners. God has promised to come at just the right time and provide just what you need for the moment. And it's in those moments that we find the miracles. We just have to look for them. Stop letting them scoot by us. And not just at Christmas, but every single day. We've heard some of those miracles of God's timing this morning. And I'm going to ask you to talk to Erin after, because she had another one that was a perfect God's timing miracle in the moment. She didn't get to share this morning, but ask her about it. Because God's timing is perfect, and we have to find those miracles in the moments. Let's start trusting God's timing in all things. Let's allow ourselves to find those miracles, because he's there. He's there. Even when it stinks and even when it hurts, he's still there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Sometimes your word comes at us like a 2x4 that just is, don't you see me? Don't you hear me? I'm right there with you. Lord, help us to see the miracles in our moments. Remind us that you are there, Lord, because sometimes we forget. We get so caught up in the busyness of our lives. We get so caught up in the things that we need to do that we miss you. As we leave this place, may we be of courage to share your message. May we be a light. May we share love. May we be a vessel of your mercy and grace to those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.